So this morning, as we stay in that, if God brings us to it, he'll bring us through it. We really believe that's the word for us as a church. God is going to bring us through this. And we're looking at a message this morning called Strength for the Weary and the Worn. Maybe you're like, perfect, perfect. I knew I was supposed to come. Strength for the Weary and the Worn. It's 1 Samuel 30, if you have a Bible. And if you don't, that's okay. Well, I'll read it to you. If you're watching online, the verses will be there on the screen and you can follow along with us. But as we come to this chapter, 1 Samuel 30, David was in crisis. David was weary. Mighty men of God get weary. Mighty people of God and faith get weary. David was worn down. Have you ever felt thin? Like, no, I'm not talking about your weight. I'm talking about, like, have you ever spiritually felt thin? Like, I don't know what it is. I just feel so thin lately. Like, I just get off easily. I'm just more easily irritated, frustrated. David does here in our text, weary and worn down and thin, he does what we need to do. So we're going to learn it together as we study the chapter. Because we live in a day where I think almost everybody is feeling weary and worn down. It seems to me like, and maybe to you too, that just too much has been coming at us too fast. Does it seem like that? Like all these years I've been alive, right now just too much is coming at us too fast. We're facing a public health crisis. We're facing an economic crisis. We're facing a political crisis. We're facing a police brutality crisis. We're facing a racial justice crisis, right? Too much. Just too much, too fast. And that's in addition to those of us that have personal crises that we're dealing with, right? It's just the cumulative effect. Many of us just feel worn down. We feel weary. We feel thin. And this morning, I want to draw your attention to 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And I want to read to you what we learn about David. If you have a Bible, you can look at it as I read it. If you don't have a Bible, just let me read it over you. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David was in crisis. What do you do when you're in crisis? 1 Samuel 36, you strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Hey, would you take a minute right now, just close your eyes. Whoever you are, visitor, this is your church, whatever, just close your eyes. If you're online, stop, not if you're driving. If you're driving, keep your eyes open, but just stop and just ask God to strengthen you this morning. Would you do that? Just pray that right now. If you're weary, just tell God, I'm weary, strengthen me. If you feel extra thin, just say, Lord, I just want to strengthen myself in you this morning. Maybe you're at a place where you want to express to God, I desire to be a mighty man for you or a mighty woman, a strong man of God, a woman of God. Just tell God that. All right, let's read our story. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. So let me tell you a little bit about what's going on. David is a fugitive. David's father-in-law, Saul, is an angry, jealous king of Israel. And he knows that David's going to be the next king, and he's furious, he's enraged, he's jealous, he's chasing David. And David has fled to the enemy territory of the Philistines to just get away from Saul. And all kinds of people also come to David's side. All kinds of people that become these mighty men of David. It says that these people that came to David were distressed. And it says that they were discontent. They were discontent under Saul's fleshly rule. And it says they were in debt. And so David had all of these men that could really relate to him. And in a lot of ways, David's a picture of Jesus. And we're a picture of the discontent, distressed people in debt. And we just gravitate towards Jesus. He's the answer. And these men gravitate towards David. And the Philistine king gives David a city called Ziklag. And that becomes David's home for about a year and a half. And David and his men, they're all coming back. They're on a 75-mile journey. For 3 days, they've traveled like it'd be us traveling the distance of going to Lebanon. 3 days in a row, they make that long 25-mile journey a day, 75 miles to get home. On the third day, when they get home, they find that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. So David and all his men, they can just hardly wait to get home. Get home to the kids. Get home to their homes. Get home to their wives. Get home. Must have been such a, after traveling so hard and long to get home. And then they began to see the smoke. And it wasn't just the smoke of life at home. It was a disastrous smoke. Their city had been burned to the ground. All their wives were gone. They didn't know if they were dead. All their kids were gone. And so you can imagine as they got closer and closer, just the reality of having lost everything. They're already tired. Now, the Amalekites are the perennial enemies of Israel. All through the Old Testament, they're always attacking Israel. When Israel came out of Egypt, the enemy, the Amalekites, attacked those who were straggling behind and those who were weary and those who were weak. And, you know, that's such a picture of our enemy. Who does he attack? He attacks those out of fellowship. He attacks those straggling behind. He attacks us when we're already weary and already weak. We don't see the devil behind every bush. But a lot of times when we're already weary, the cumulative effect of everything else going on, we're an easy target for the enemy. And so the Amalekites came against Ziklag, and they burned the city with fire. Verse 2, and they took captive the women and those who were there from young to old. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. You know, even reading that, maybe you can relate. Maybe your marriage is being threatened by the enemy. Maybe your spouse has been taken by the enemy. Maybe you have a wayward child that you're fighting for, life and death for their soul. They've been taken captive by the enemy. And verse 4, we read that David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. You know what godly people do when they hurt? They cry. There's nothing ungodly about crying. When we are in the thick of things and we're hurting and there's loss and there's warfare, it's not a lack of spirituality to cry. That's how God made us. We cry. And they wept. Can you imagine? Their wives, their parents, the old, the kids, they're all gone. Everything's just burnt to the ground. They have no idea what's happened, if they're alive or not. We know it reading the story that they were all alive. But these men, mighty men, such a great picture of mighty men. Mighty men cry. Mighty men are emotional, and they hurt, and they weep. And it even says that they wept until they had no more power to weep. How Have you ever wept until you have no more power to weep? Some have. I've wept till I had no more power to weep. When my dad died, my best friend, I wept. My sister and I wept. We wept until we could not shed another tear. And at the funeral, we were filled with joy. My dad was with the Lord. And the people that knew us thought they're in denial. Poor children, they're in denial. No, we weren't in denial. We had just wept all that we could weep. And now we were celebrating that Dad was with the Lord. Maybe you've wept tears. Maybe you're weeping tears presently. Maybe you're in that type of grief presently over a spouse or parents or a child. But they wept until they had no more power to weep. And David, verse 5, David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. This is actually David's second and third wives. David, the man of God. David, the man after God's own heart. David had his first wife, Michal, when David became a fugitive, left him. Married someone else. David remarried. He has two wives here that we read about. Well, what do you have to say about that, Pastor? Certainly you're going to make a comment about this. Yeah, David had a problem with women. That's the commentary on David's life. David actually ended up with 8 wives and 10 concubines for his sexual pleasure. 7 wives. The 8th wife was Bathsheba, one of his most mighty trusted men. Uriah was out in the field fighting for David, and David saw his wife bathing and lusted after her and wanted her and took her. 7 wives and 10 concubines. David has a problem. David has a problem with sexual sin, and you know what? It destroyed him. It destroyed his family. It destroyed his son. Isn't that the hardest thing? That our sin always affects the people we love the most. Because David's son then went on to have 300 wives. 700. 700? 700 concubines for my sexual pleasure. That's a problem. That's a terrible, David had a terrible problem that he didn't deal with. A problem with sexual sin. Maybe you're somebody that you have a problem. It's destroying you. If you don't deal with the pornography, if you don't deal with the lust, if you don't deal with your behavior, it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy the people you love the most. And it's just one of the most wonderful things. The Spirit of God could just be dealing with you in the most powerful way as we learn about David's sin and we learn from his failure. Well, verse 6, David was greatly distressed. His father-in-law is chasing him. His wife has left him. Second and third wife, who he loved, no doubt. They're maybe dead. His kids are maybe dead. And on top of that, the people spoke of stoning him, right? Because when you're the leader and everything's going right, you're the hero. And when you're the leader and everything's going wrong, it's your fault. David, this is your fault. And so he was under a lot of stress. He was greatly distressed because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. And then this is where we read our text. So what does David do? Tremendous crises, tremendous stress. He does what you need to do. He does what God wants you to have. He does what God wants you to receive this morning. You learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. God, I am greatly distressed. And God strengthened David. That's the first thing he did. And we'll talk more about that. But then verse 8, the next verse, first David wisely strengthens himself in the Lord. Then it says David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. What's the first thing you do that when you're in crisis and distress, the cumulative effect, you can't, maybe you're somebody listening and you're just, I can't deal with it anymore. It's just too great, the distress. You do what David did. You strengthen yourself in God. That's how you make it through. You inquire of God. You talk to God. God, what do I do? How are we going to make it through this? You know, a prayer that I've prayed over the years is the prayer, God's been so faithful to answer it for me. God, make it so clear that I can't miss it. God's been so faithful to do that for me. Just a true heart. God, I'm in crisis. I don't know what to do. Can you make it so clear I can't miss it? Try praying that. Because you know what? The goes are just as important as the no's. No, stay still. Go, pursue. You're going to recover them all. David heard on this occasion the go, go. So first thing he did, strengthen himself. And then he just didn't act in his own wisdom. He inquired of God, should I stay? Should I go? I'm to go. God gave him a promise. This is amazing. God starts strengthening you. You start praying. God gives you a promise that you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And the third thing, David strengthened himself. I want you to write him down if you're taking notes. David strengthened himself. Then David inquired of the Lord. And then verse 9, David obeyed. Because if you just strengthen yourself and inquire but don't obey, you're not going to walk in what God has for you. You have to obey when God speaks to you. So verse 9, so David went, and this is a beautiful picture. David went, like, okay, all these guys want to stone me. But David strengthened himself in God. David heard from God. He inquired of God. And David had a promise. And David knew about God bringing victories against all odds with Goliath. And he was going. I'm going. You guys all want to stone me? I'm going to go. I'm going after the enemy. God has strengthened me. He's shown me what's next. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to take them all on. And his 600 men went with him. That's a great sight there. They came to something really hard. How did they make it through it? David strengthened himself in the Lord. David inquired. The men came alongside that type of man and began to follow him again. And they came, now it's 15 more miles, exhausted. Traveled for 3 days. We've lost all of our families. Now we travel another 15 miles. And we read where those stayed who were left behind. And we read more the next verse, verse 10. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they couldn't cross the brook Bezer. So mighty men of God, 200 of them are so tired. We've been going 75 miles. We've been fighting before that. We're, you know, now another 15 miles. We've lost our wives, our kids, the grief, the tears. Well, you can't go anymore. So 200 of them, they let go a lot of their supplies. They stick it there by the brook Bezer. 200 of them stay there. They don't have the strength to go on anymore. But what we learn here, David had strength to go on. This was the strength of the living God. Listen to me. See, we are listening to you. Good. Listen, this was the strength of the living God strengthening a weary and hurting man. Right? I can't go on. I don't have the strength. God can strengthen you to go on. And this was God strengthening David. This was, you can write these down, four things. This was strength to fight for his marriage. This was strength to fight for his children. This was strength to fight to take back what the enemy had stolen. This was strength to, listen, I love this. This is strength to go where human strength can't carry you anymore. God can strengthen you at a place that you can't go on, to go where you couldn't have gone in human strength. That's what's happening here. I love when I think of this. Fighting for marriages, fighting for children, fighting to take back what the enemy has stolen. Strength to go where human strength can't take you. I think of Nehemiah. In the days of Nehemiah, they rebuilt the wall. And guess what happens when the people of God start building what God wants them to build? The enemy gets furious and comes against what God's building. And tries to, it says they wanted to confuse the Israelites. That's always the tactic of the enemy. He wants to confuse us. I don't know what, I'm so confused. That's the enemy. And listen to the wisdom that God gave Nehemiah. This is another great leader. Listen to what a great leader sounds like. He said to the people, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. What a great leader. Don't be afraid. Remember, are you afraid during these days that we're living in? Don't be afraid. Man, remember the Lord, how great and awesome he is. And here's the word why we're reading it. Nehemiah says, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. God's awesome, but you're going to have to fight. You know how they built the walls around Jerusalem? They had a sword in one hand. They had a trowel in the other. That's what it looks like to be a child of God building something. You're going to have a sword in one hand. The enemy's going to come against you. You try to lead a house church or try to be an elder or a leader or a worship leader or start a church in Hawaii. Whatever it is, the enemy's going to come. It's a sword in one hand. I build with the other hand. And the other thing is they had a trumpet. Now, this was key. Because whenever the enemy would come against one of them, Nehemiah instructed them, you're to blow the trumpet so we can all rally to you and fight for each other. Such wisdom. What do when we're under attack of the enemy? Blow the trumpet. We get all the people in our house church praying for us. We get all of our people that we love and are walking with us in community praying with us, for us. Maybe that's the word for you, to just get everyone you know that loves you and cares about your marriage, cares about your child. Just start praying regularly together out on your deck this summer, out in your backyard. I can't tell you how many people I've instructed over the years in crisis to start gathering their people to them, praying for their marriage or for their child, fighting for each other. That's what we do. Well, let's read on. So 1 Samuel 30, verse 16, David and the 400, they pursue the Amalekites, and there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And what does David do? It's twilight. It's nighttime. They've traveled for 3 days. They've traveled another 15 miles and who knows how many more miles to come to the enemy's camp. What's the enemy doing? They're partying. What does that mean for David's wives, his daughters, his men's wives, his men's daughters? It's not time to sleep, guys. It's time to fight. We're going to need strength that we don't have. We've got to fight for our families, or this is going to be a devastating night for us all. And they have the strength from God to go where human strength can't take you. And from twilight until evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except for 400 young men who rode on camels. They got away, the Amalekites. It seems like those enemies are always going to repopulate and come back, right? The people of God, the battle's never over. The enemy now waits for a new opportune time, but he's always looking for that time. Well, verse 18, so David, and this is where we're going to finish. And listen, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, just really try to hear this because it's the last two verses we're going to read. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David recovered all. And David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. And here it is a second time. David recovered all. You know, this is such a picture. David is such a picture in 100 different ways in these stories of Jesus. We're like the wives and the children that have been taken captive by the enemy. And David is like Jesus. David rescued them. You know, when you turn to Jesus, when Jesus becomes your Lord, he rescues you from the horror that the enemy intended for you. David rescued them, but twice it says, David recovered all. Such an awesome picture of coming to Jesus. You know, our sin separates us from the relationship that we were created to have with God. You are created in the image of God, and your chief purpose is to know God and enjoy him and bring him glory and serve him and be fruitful. But your sin separates you from God. And instead of living for God, for his pleasure and joy and serving him, sinful people live for themselves. And they're just so miserable. And they're so empty. One wife, now I need more. Two, more. Three, four, five, six, more. 10 concubines, more. Oh, I saw that's what dad had. I need 300 more. It's not enough. I need more. So miserable. Until Solomon's heart was turned away from God by all of his things he was pursuing, all of his wives, all of his pleasure. But you know what? In David, all that was lost, in the Son of David, Jesus, all that was lost by the fall, all that was lost in our sinful state, it's all recovered. It's all restored. Everything God has for us is now ours. And the relationship is restored. The love is restored. The realization that I'm created to know God and enjoy him and bring him pleasure and be fruitful and serve at his leisure. It's all restored. But that's the thing in Jesus, even who we were before we fell, we're even restored to a greater place of now God's Spirit, now Jesus is in us. It's even a great, God's plan. It's amazing what the enemy, you finish it, what the enemy meant for evil, God's so amazing. Right? We're in evil days. God's got a great plan. God is a great and awesome God. Don't be afraid. Let's get our eyes on God. Let's take church out to the streets. You know what? A lot of times when I exhort really strongly, I don't know, most people just don't. He's like, that was really good. Boy, was that good. That was good. Did you feel moved? I felt moved. Was Jenny incredible? That was incredible. She wasn't planning on going with that. She went, oh my gosh, that was so cool. She did it. God was dealing with it. Are you going to go? Probably not. But I look forward to next Sunday for some more really encouraging stories. But you know what? It's when you're being strengthened and you inquire. So here's my challenge to you. Just inquire. Lord, would you want me and my wife and my child, would you want us to be out on the street making signs, telling people how great Jesus is? Just inquire. If he tells you no, then it's a no. If he tells you go, I'll see you Saturday night. So I wish I could explain to you guys what it was like. Felt so good to be out on the street bringing Jesus to our city. Could just sense God's heart. We cannot huddle up here on the hill and hope they'll come to us. So David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So we'll finish this. But David, tremendous distress. In contrast to the stress, David strengthened himself. You know, no one can strengthen you in God for you. I can't do it for you. No elder can do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. You can't do it for your children. Your parents can't do it for you. You have to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Alex, why don't you come on back up and we're going to sing a last song. And as Alex comes up, I want you to set everything aside. And I want to give you an invitation, and I don't want you to do it right now. I want you to do it when Alex starts leading us in song. If you want to stand today and ask God to strengthen you, then I'm going to invite you to stand. If you want to stand and say, God, I want to strengthen myself in you to go where human strength can't take me, then I want you to stand, especially if you're someone fighting for your marriage. Especially if you're someone fighting for your children. Especially if you're someone fighting to take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Stand and say, God, strengthen me. But if that's in your heart, if that prayer's in your heart as we start worshiping, stand and no one else can do it for you. Look to God to strengthen you. And the second part of that, if God isn't your God, if you've not been rescued in Jesus yet, if you've not been restored to a right relationship with God through Jesus, stand. Stand and just open up your heart and just thank Jesus for dying for you and just let God know, I'm yours. He's going to be speaking to you, I'm rescuing you. And you're just going to be saying, Lord, rescue me. Just open your heart completely. If you're not God's, maybe you've been away from God. Maybe you've never belonged to God through Jesus. This would be an opportunity for you to stand and let God rescue you through what Jesus did. Let God restore all that's been lost by turning to Jesus. So, Alex, lead us. You shouldn't stand for anybody else. It's only if that's in your heart, then you stand. And as you stand, just begin to pour out your heart to God. You can sing with us as you're ready to sing, but start pouring out your heart to God to strengthen you. Pour your heart out to God, that God, you're my God. Strengthen me. As Alex starts to sing, if that's on your heart to stand, stand. I respect you. If you sit, if that's not where you're at, then that's not where you're at. That's okay. You can just stay seated. But if that's your heart, you can stand.